Welcome to Disney A, the Canadian-themed Disney travel podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Brandon.
And I'm Krista, and I like that you're back to the pointing.
Oh, I gotta, yeah. Who's got two thumbs and is podcasting? This guy.
Brandon, how are you this week?
You know, I'm pretty good. We're feeling a little better, a little more healthier.
No, we talked last week how we've been sick.
The sickness has been hanging on, but I'm almost, like, I'm like 90% now.
Yeah, me too, I think, yeah.
You're like 87%, because I gotta win a little
bit. Oh, okay, alright. Because you gotta win.
I gotta win.
Not that you're competitive.
No.
Oh, okay. Also, what are you currently drinking?
This is just a simple gin and peach bubbly, nice little refreshing summer drink.
Yeah.
How about yourself?
So I'm not.
This is a surprise. I don't know.
Yes.
Something weird and interesting. Apparently.
No, not necessarily weird and interesting. Just unusual for me at this time of year. Normally I'm like all tropical. I was feeling it's kind of a dreary day, and I was doing a lot of manual labor just recently. Like, I was working, we have an Airbnb, and I was
lifting weights.
Yeah, that's almost what I was doing.
Oh.
But I was doing a bunch of stuff, and I came in, I was like, I want a cup of tea. So I'm having a cup of summertime tea with vodka.
Vodka tea?
Yeah, I'm having vodka tea.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah, so anyway, that's what I'm having.
It's not that it was raining earlier, but it turned into a nicer evening.
Yeah, it's a much nicer evening than it was. Like, it's nicer now. Anyway, we're recording this Saturday evening.
This is why you're 87%, because you still need tea to make yourself feel better.
Oh, that tastes pretty good.
Okay.
Also, Brandon, what is your nerd thing this week?
Well, we have talked about it before. The whole Last of Us being filmed in our neck of the woods.
Yes.
And things like that. Well, we finally finished the series, and it inspired me to replay the game.
Yes.
Well, I had played the game before, but I didn't get very far because I was annoyed at it. But I started it again and did much better this time.
Nice.
It makes more sense and stuff to me, so.
Cool.
Yeah.
You're almost done.
Almost done.
Yeah. Speaking of games, it's been a while since I had this as my nerd thing.
Uh-huh.
So my nerd thing currently is Disney Dreamlight Valley is doing like dream snaps now.
So, oh, yeah. Snap.
Yeah.
Snap.
Exactly. So
I have Nintendo thumb.
So with the last update, it's a way to get like moonstones, which is one of the in-game currency type thing.
It's the premium currency of the game, because it's free to play. Yes, okay.
Okay, but yeah, you do like these pictures and you upload them, and I've not been like winning, but I've been doing all right with them. It's a couple weeks.
It's like free money.
Yeah, but it's fun. Anyway, and yeah, it was like with the last update, and we got Vanellope, and it was like a bunch of summer. That was an update. So anyway, I've been enjoying
that. But you still don't have Ralph, and that is a travesty.
Agreed. Okay. But I also got her up to level 10. So everyone's maxed out now, and I've been decorating. Also, Brandon, what are we actually talking about this week? We've done all our intro stuff and haven't even explained what we're going to talk about.
Well, we always talk about our intro stuff before we talk about what we're going to talk about.
Okay.
Well, usually.
Sometimes,
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. What are we talking about this week?
This is your idea.
It was. Oh, well, there's your problem.
No, we are going to be, it's been a long time coming, but we are actually doing our 2000s episode.
Oh, we're back to the decades.
It's a decades, yeah. Well, we're almost done, honestly, because we're only going to go as far as 2010, because the 2020s haven't finished yet, so.
They haven't?
They haven't. I mean, I know 20.
It's going to feel like,
yeah.
It's going to be like tomorrow that they're done.
Well,
the way the years go.
The way it felt actually 2020 was like 3 years, and since then has been like one.
Yeah. Time compresses when you get old like me.
But anyway, so we did do the 2000s. I'll talk about some stuff in there, but it's kind of cool to get back on that because it's been a while since we've been looking at the decades. And yeah, you had the idea like we were waiting to watch Emperor's New Groove, and then right after we recorded last week, you were like, let's just go watch it right now.
And we did.
So now we're gonna
we might talk about that
more
than
the
others,
other ones.
It's
well, you
more
might be
fresh.
Pretty critical on some of the other ones though. Like, I think you there's stuff about the movies.
I think the 2000s is like the hipster decade.
Yeah, there's some really good hipster ones in there, and there's some ones that, like...
There's some bad ones, yeah. But, like, I think it's the hipster decade. There's, like, way too many that are labeled as, like, underrated.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're all underrated.
No, I think two of them are. Also, well, we'll talk about it more, but there's the only Disney animated feature-length film that I still have not watched is in the 2000s.
Ah, fail.
I know. I just go watch it after this.
If you haven't seen it, oh, is it Meet the Robinsons?
Yes.
Yeah. You got a big head and little arms. That's all I need
all
to know.
I know, yeah.
I don't think it's very good, but okay.
We'll
judging
talk
without
about
seeing,
it.
That's not very.
No.
That's not very nice
nope.
of me. But I also don't think it's very good. So
no,
you know.
We'll talk about the movies when we get there, though. Also, Brandon, as our last thing of the intro, my new favorite thing that you do, better know a listener.
Yes.
Do you have something for us?
I actually did prepare this.
Okay.
I have to do homework for this now. It's terrible.
Your idea.
I think it was a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
No, this week we're going to visit Janesville, Wisconsin.
Oh, we're in Wisconsin. Okay.
Yeah. Like, kind of by the Great Lakes and stuff.
Guess so.
They're a little, like, Canadian-ish up there.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Because they're so far north. And
yeah,
so
any of the northern states, I always think,
you got to go that way. Janesville is
not as Canadian as Minnesota.
No. But still, like, Minnesota and Wisconsin.
Yeah, I get it.
They're in that same... Mm-hmm. They're in that same vein, so, you know,
mm-hmm.
What can you do? But Janesville,
okay.
If you didn't know...
I didn't.
It's known as Wisconsin's Park Place.
Oh, okay.
They have a whole... crap load of parks, apparently.
Oh, cool.
And like, just massive amounts of parks, like 2,600 acres worth of parks in and around the city.
Really?
It's also kind of weird because there's also a Janesville town that's like right beside it, so I think that must be a little confusing.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
But we're looking at Janesville, not Janesville town.
Yes. Okay. Janesville, the city, I'm assuming. I don't know. It doesn't... Like I say, it's IP-based, and it just says Janesville, so I'm assuming it's Janesville, the city.
Interesting. Well, if you are listening from Janesville, you have to let us know.
They're also very well known
mm-hmm.
for the world's greatest water ski team.
What?
Yes.
Really?
The Rock Aqua Jays.
The Rock Aqua Jays.
They've won 62 tournament victories and 19 U.S. national championships. Kind of a strange thing to be known for, but yeah, like a big old water ski.
Oh, that's so cool.
Big old water ski team. They used to be home to the Chicago Cubs minor league team.
Oh,
this was a long time ago, in like the 40s. They were called the Janesville Cubs.
Okay.
But in 1946 they were called the Bears.
Oh, the Bears.
Which is kind of funny because, like, the Cubs are like a bear cub is young.
That makes sense. I like it.
The minor league team being called the Bears is kind of weird, but it should be the other way around.
Yeah, it should be.
Anyway, whatever. They also have a hockey team in the North American Hockey League, which I'm not really sure what that is. Never heard of it before.
And you're a hockey fan.
And I'm a hockey fan. So you got the NHL, which is like,
mm-hmm.
Your top end, and then you got the AHL, which is the American Hockey League. That's the farm teams.
Right.
And then the farm teams for the AHL is called the ECHL. I don't know what that stands for, because it's like little...
Many things. Okay.
It's
right.
It's the minor league, so I don't really know, but I've just heard the abbreviation.
CHL.
And
okay.
And that's whatever. And then in Canada, you have the juniors, which
yes.
is the CHL. So, I don't know. I don't know what the North American Hockey League is, but they have a team, and it's the Janesville Jets.
Oh, good name. When
Go
you're
Jets.
A Jet, you're a Jet all the way from here.
Yeah,
like that?
Exactly.
It's the Jets.
and apparently, it was also really famous because some guy that lived there... convince Abraham Lincoln to do a speech there at one time. So that's another claim to fame that they have, apparently.
Abraham Lincoln did a speech there.
Yeah.
Cool. Janesville?
Janesville.
Janesville.
Not, at first I was really excited. I thought maybe it was like Firefly
yeah,
type of thing.
Yeah,
and
they wore their really cool toques.
Yeah. No, oh. It wasn't.
Oh, okay.
It's water skiing and...
Well, the water skiing thing, you showed me a picture, and that looks super cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Go water skiing.
So if you're from Janesville, also enlighten us on this whole what's the difference between Janesville and Janesville Town thing.
Yeah, kind of strange.
Oh, that's cool, though. We don't have any Marvel news right now. We are counting down currently to Ahsoka. That's coming up. But other than that, yeah, let's head to the news.
Disney A News Update.
News. Much less news than last time when we were catching up like 3 weeks worth of news. A big thing, a bunch of news came out about the Disney company finances, streaming, and so on. So here's the rundown. A recent article from The Hollywood Reporter has breathed new life into the long-standing rumor of a potential Apple acquisition of the Walt Disney Company.
I still press X for doubt on this. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't think Apple's in the business of... They used to be really tightly tied to Pixar, but...
Yeah, Steve Jobs was like a... Yeah.
Yeah, but...
Pixar made, like, because I have a rundown of the of what was going on in the 2000s, and Pixar was, like, all over that because Disney was trying to acquire it and then eventually did. It was the whole thing.
I just don't see it. Like, I don't know what the upside is for Apple.
From, like, a business standpoint. Right. All right, well, anyway. So that, you know, made news again and then kind of fizzled, but... It's there. That rumor is still persisting, I guess.
And I don't know. Like the movie side would probably be fine, but I'd be like super concerned about the parks.
Yeah,
myself. Me too. If Apple did pull the trigger on that,
that would be concerning.
Yeah,
be
concerning. I don't know.
Yeah. So a lot of this other news is coming from the 2023 third quarter earnings call. Disney Parks and Resorts experienced a decent improvement over the previous quarter, which is, you know,
okay,
earning stuff. And direct-to-customer revenues have increased. So people are like, this is all giving more credence to this whole, like, yay, Bob Iger stuff.
Okay, so...
Yes, I understand.
I'm just going to pour a little bit of cold water on that. Comparing to the previous quarter, okay...
It's superfluous.
There's so many... factors, especially when you're talking about the parks. Summer's going to be a little bit more busier than the shoulder season. Yes. Like a better comparison is a year over year same quarter.
Right.
That's apples to apples. You're going apples to grapes, and that makes no sense.
So how? And there was also, basically, according to Deadline and official reports from the Walt Disney Company, a mixed third quarter for 2023 saw some success, reduced losses, and a few disappointments overall. And they wanted to note that, yes, Disney Parks and Resorts have seen an overall strong increase. However, most of it is actually attributed to strong performances from international destinations as well as the cruise line. So people are cruising.
Cruises, like... During COVID, that like a lot of pundits and experts were like, cruises are not going to happen ever again. Like, cruises is a dying industry.
Exactly the opposite.
Literally exactly the opposite. As soon as things opened up and cruise lines were allowed to go again, it was like huge boom. They're like, Royal Caribbean is building massive ship after massive ship, and Disney themselves are building new ships. And yeah, no, cruising is huge right now and doesn't slow any signs of slowing down.
No, if anything else, it's booming.
No, it is booming. Like,
oh, okay. So during the earnings call, Disney announced a significant price increase for Disney Plus and Hulu's premium plans. Also sharing news that an ad-free bundle of both platforms will roll out in the U.S., which is, you know, the news is coming from the U.S., right?
Which means that there's an ad option.
Yes.
I don't, like, this is all foreign to us in Canada, because we're foreign. but we don't have an ad option for Disney+, and we also don't have Hulu, so who knows how that's going to affect us.
I was wondering. But this is all just stuff being reported from this earnings call, right?
They also did talk about how they're going to crack down on account sharing.
Yeah.
And who knows how that rolls out. And that's... Streaming services are shooting themselves in the foot with this because streaming services, there's so many now, but it's an easier pill to swallow if you can if you can have multiple households doing
right.
it.
Right, if you're like, well, you know, in the family, so-and-so will cover Netflix, and so-and-so will cover Disney, and so-and-so will cover Amazon,
and
whatever.
You don't go outrageous with it.
No.
But, like, we share a lot of streaming services with my parents, for example, and Netflix famously cracked down on password sharing. They've been the first ones to really go hard on it, and it's all IP-based. And we canceled.
We canceled our Netflix.
We canceled Netflix, and we haven't been subscribed to it for almost a year now.
Yeah.
And so that's, like, and we weren't the only ones. So Netflix has lost money on it. I think their subscriber base went down after they announced this. And I think that's just dumb.
Yeah.
Like, I get them being like, well, there's two households using this service. They should both be paying for it. But what will... The other option is not both of them paying for it. It's zero of them paying for it.
Right.
And so you lose out on that money. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. So he says he's going to be looking at it in 2024. So we'll see.
Oh, that's next year.
Yes. We'll see what that means, basically. But it's not like immediately this is happening, is my point.
Yeah.
But he's definitely looking into it. Amid ongoing rumors and speculation over the potential sale of the Walt Disney Company to Apple, CEO Bob Iger is refusing to entertain the discussion.
Yes.
He says.
Yeah, I don't... I think it would have to be a hostile takeover.
Oh, one of those almost happened in the 2000s. I'm going to talk about it.
And that's messy and concerning. And I don't think Disney's quite weak enough to...
I don't see why Apple would decide that that's a good course of action.
And as a buyer, doing a hostile takeover is messy and stuff, too. So, like why? I don't know. It doesn't make a super amount of sense to me, but whatever.
And then the last point from this earnings call is the... Again, Bob Iger shared a statement on the ongoing strikes in Hollywood saying he is personally committed to working towards doing what he can to help end them.
That's lip service, but...
It is lip service, but I was like, that's interesting lip service, I thought.
It's been going on a long, long time.
Well,
now.
Companies are starting to lose money now, so all of a sudden they're like, oh, we're going to come to the table, basically.
Yes, and it has to go on for a long, long time because there's enough... projects in the can
totally.
That they can outlast for a little while, but hopefully they figure something out. Because speaking of strikes and unions,
okay,
and Disney,
and then I'm gonna go back to Disneyland news.
Big news.
Mm-hmm.
VFX artists, specifically for Disney, was making the news, have agreed to unionize.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So they've made the news a lot over the recent years of how poorly Disney has treated VFX artists, specifically with, like, the Marvel stuff and so many projects, and they do reshoots at the last minute, and they have to change all this stuff, and they move from project to project, and doing, like, ridiculous overtime and... barely paying them anything. So, yeah, they're going to unionize and be like, no more of that.
Ah, good for them.
Because all these studios were independent, so Disney would be like, okay, well, if you're not going to do what we ask, we're going to take it to this other studio and all these independent contractors type of situation. So, no, they've decided to unionize and be like, no more of that.
Interesting.
So I think that's good.
Well, I think so, too. But
so, yeah.
Yeah, very cool.
That was big news.
I'm
surprised it wasn't on your list. But.
Yeah, that's awesome, actually. That is big news.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, very cool. I just have a couple minor things here. More Disneyland updates.
Oh, like
here.
The Seven Dwarfs?
Like the Seven... Oh, yeah, actually.
They're
minors.
Yeah.
Space Mountain at Disneyland Park will be closed for refurbishment beginning September 18th. There's no current reopening date.
What is?
Space Mountain. September 18th.
That's weird.
Yep. There are ongoing changes to San Francisco. There's further developments to the bridge, more street art, and then the turbine blenders, more art and fictional advertisements have been added.
Yeah, we saw that on a video.
Yep, and then a Magic Key dance party is coming to Disney California in August. The event will be taking place at the Disney Junior Theater in Hollywood Land on select dates for Magic Key holders.
This is terrible.
Terrible
news. No one cares.
Anyway, no, they haven't done a Magic Key dance party before. So anyway, that was it. That was it. That was my news.
What if I want to dance and I'm not a Magic Key holder?
You don't get to.
Yeah, they come and tase you or something?
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure you need to have your Magic Key to get into the party.
Weird. Okay. Anyway.
It's like a Magic Key specific event is the thing.
Super. Great.
Go head over to the main topic?
Yes. What's in the bag?
It's not a head. It's just content. Disney A grab bag. Okay, so I had some fun doing some research for the 2000s. It's been a while since we did our decades. We actually had to break the 90s up into two categories.
The 90s were good. Uh-huh. 2000s, meh.
Well, a bunch of stuff happened in the 2000s. Yeah, bunch of stuff.
Not so much the movies, though. So,
right,
you know,
so I'm going to break... I have this broken up into categories. There's general company stuff. There's parks, Pixar... notable Disney live action movies, and then the Disney animated movies. And that's kind of going to be the order I go through. Okay. So I'm going to run through a bunch of stuff. Let's go company first of all.
Okay.
So, and this is kind of in like chronological order, all of this stuff. Okay. So in 2001, the company purchased Fox Family Worldwide, including famously ABC.
Yes, okay.
Okay.
That's when they got ABC.
They got a lot of stuff in the 2000s. Let's just hold on to that right now. Roy E. Disney resigned in 2003, took some people with them, and formed a group called Save Disney. And this was all to, basically get public pressure to oust Michael Eisner at the time.
Right.
So this is 2003. Shortly after that, Disney sold the Angels baseball team. Okay. There was an attempted hostile takeover by Comcast.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
NBC.
Yes. So, this was 2003 into 2004. In fact, I think the hostile takeover was right at the beginning of 2004. Eisner was stripped of his chairmanship following a no-confidence vote in 2004. The company purchased Muppets and a few other Jim Henson works, most notably Bear in the Big Blue House was a huge children's show at the time.
I remember seeing that on... I've literally never watched
it. I watched it. It was actually... It was great. My little sister used to watch it. It was, really well done for, a little preschool...
I had no idea that was a Jim Henson thing.
Yeah, totally.
Fascinating.
It makes more sense knowing it's a Jim Henson thing. Because it's, way too well done for other stuff at the time.
Right.
The Disney store chain, Disney stores, was sold to the Children's Place... But then later, at the end of the decade, was repurchased by Disney. Basically, Disney was losing a bunch of money, didn't have money, and so they were
they pulled a Marvel, yeah.
Okay. Right, okay. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But yeah, I think it was in 2009 they rebought it. Mighty Ducks of Anaheim was sold, which then became, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So we'll go back to the sports sphere. You were talking about the Angels and the Mighty Ducks. So they had a couple of movies...
Yeah,
Angels in the Outfield, and so then they got a baseball team.
Yeah, and the Angels
called the Angels. Yeah, and then of course the Mighty Ducks was a movie, and, and they got an expansion team in the NHL, the Mighty Ducks, and they owned both of those for a while, and then they're like, wait, this isn't working.
Yeah, in the 2000s,
both of those teams still exist, and they're both still in Anaheim, and. Except the Angels are called the Los Angeles Angels. They're not in Los Angeles. They're in Anaheim. They're definitely in Anaheim. The Anaheim Ducks, they're not the Mighty Ducks anymore, because Mighty Ducks is trademarked.
Yeah, Disney.
Still exist. They, once in a while, they'll use the old logo, though.
Yeah, that's fun. I love it when they do.
Yeah.
It's
so 90s, it hurts, but it's a
I love it.
It's a great sports logo.
Yeah, it's so good.
Really good.
Hey, let's shout out the fact that the episode where we talked about all the Mighty Ducks movies.
We watched them all in a row.
Yeah. Mistakes were made. Mostly watching them all in a row.
Yeah.
The first one, we're like, this is great. We can totally keep going.
No.
And then it stopped.
The Disney Plus series was pretty good.
We only watched the first season. Yeah.
And then the second season probably wasn't as good because you didn't have Emilio. And then it got canceled because no Emilio.
There's no Emilio. So after this happens, Roy E. Disney rejoins the Disney company and is given the title Director Emeritus, which he then holds until the end of his life, which also comes in the 2000s. Eisner then steps down as CEO as well and is replaced by Bob Iger. The company is the first to license TV episodes for download in iTunes Apple Store. I thought that was cool. That was in 2005.
They've always had a little bit of a relationship with Apple kind of thing.
Well, right? Then, of course, you're talking Pixar.
Yeah,
right there.
Yeah.
They finally acquired Pixar in 2006. So they were negotiating at the beginning of the decade, and then talks broke down and it was bad. But they, made agreements with, Steve Jobs will stay on in this capacity and do, connection to Pixar.
Well, and he
for
was having
while.
His health problems
yeah,
at
exactly.
this time as well. Yeah.
So it was 2006 they finally did acquire Pixar. Walt Disney Feature Animation was renamed the Walt Disney Animation Studios, which is the name it still carries today. The company dropped Buena Vista brand from all its divisions. Disney MGM Studios was renamed Disney Hollywood Studios. In 2008, Disney Broadway came with The Little Mermaid. It wasn't its first Broadway hit, but it was a huge Broadway hit. So that debuted in 2008. Disney's...
Yeah, it wasn't its first Broadway hit because I went to New York and saw Beauty and the Beast on Broadway. That was really good. And I think Lion King was around in that same time as
yes.
well. Yeah, I saw that on Broadway.
I know.
I went to Broadway.
I know.
Broadway hit.
Yeah, thank you.
Beauty and the Beast is great on Broadway,
yeah,
by the way.
Uh-huh,
yeah.
Uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh.
Not that you would know.
No, my God. Come here.
No, violence is wrong.
D23, the official Disney fan club, launched in 2009. 2009 is also when Disney became an equity owner of Hulu. Roy E. Disney died of stomach cancer, which sounds terrible.
Oh, yeah.
In 2009 as well. And Disney acquired Marvel Entertainment and its properties in 2009. So basically, a big portion of the decade was we have no money, we have to sell everything off. And then towards the end, they're like, oh, we're going to buy a bunch of stuff now.
So they bought Marvel in 2009.
Marvel Entertainment in 2009.
Which, you know what's really fascinating about that? Iron Man came out in 2008.
I know.
That's very fascinating.
Yes, I know. I was wondering if that's what you were going to say. I actually know by heart when that movie came out because I taught it.
Yeah. Who financed? Was Disney a producer on that? You don't know? Okay, I gotta look this stuff up. I'm very curious.
Okay.
Well, you're talking a bunch of business stuff here.
Yeah, no, it's fine. That's why I'm doing this first, and then I'm gonna move to parks, and then I'm gonna go into the movies. The parks, a bunch of stuff happened in the parks too.
Oh, okay.
Let's hear it.
Marvel Studios did it on their own.
Iron Man in 2008.
Produced this movie. Was distributed by Paramount.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. And it was probably Marvel's last gasp to try and make something of themselves. And thank goodness for Jon Favreau and Kevin Feige,
kidding.
I guess. Eh?
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Huh.
That's cool.
Paramount. That's interesting. Very interesting.
Let's go to parks now. So that was the company in a nutshell. And I actually did mention one parks thing in the wrong category. I apologize for that. That was the MGM Studios.
You sure did. Yeah. So parks in the 2000s is very important to me because the first time I went to a Disney park was in the 2000s.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I went to Disney World in 2000, 2000, 2002? Or it was still MGM Studios when I went, so...
Okay, we'll see if I have what year that was. That would have been...
It was 2000, I think.
Oh, well, that, okay. It was... It didn't change until, like, 2007 or 8 think or something.
So. I don't know. Okay. I don't remember.
So, again, we're going back to the beginning of the decade, okay? This is all kind of chronological. Probably the biggest thing, DCA opens in 2001. Disney's California Adventure with Superstar Limo.
Right. So, you talked about the company stuff and, like, the Save Disney movement.
This was all part of it.
And kicking out Eisner. So, Euro Disney and DCA were, like, the nails in his coffin.
Yeah.
Basically. Yeah. They were his brainchild. He was like, big expansion, do this, blah, blah, blah. And they both didn't do very good.
So, not only Euro Disney, but in Disneyland Paris.
And for different reasons. Which is funny. They tried to learn from their mistakes on Euro Disney, and they learned the wrong lessons.
Yeah. They're like, we made mistakes, but they didn't get what the mistakes were.
They didn't understand. Euro Disney spent too much money in the wrong place.
Mm-hmm.
And DCA spent not enough money in any place.
Well, during the 2000s, the second park at Disneyland Paris now... that's when that opened, and that was even more lackluster than anything else. So, anyway, 2001 DCA opens. 2001 is also when the Haunted Mansion Holiday was first introduced.
Really?
2001. Not for as long or anything like that. I don't know what the first time frame was.
Has it changed since then, or was it very similar? Do you know?
Similar, but it's like on a more grand scale now.
That's interesting because... Nightmare Before Christmas wasn't super popular
back then. It was 2004 when I finally got a DVD copy. I loved Nightmare Before Christmas.
I remember we bought it in like HMV.
Yeah, you got it for me for Christmas.
Oh, we found like it was something that was like hard to find.
I couldn't find any merch or anything. And that year, it was like 2004. And for Halloween, my parents gave me, which I still have, a candle set with... like some of the characters, like there's a Zero one and a Jack one and a Sally one, done in candles. And then you found me the movie finally, and that was the only merch you could find anywhere. And now it's everywhere. But yes, 2001. So even before that, Haunted Mansion Holiday.
I would have lost a lot of money on betting when that was, like, a lot.
So we talked about some not great parks, but Tokyo Disney Sea did open. Yep. Neil Armstrong attended the reopening of Disneyland Space Mountain. That's when it was did the major refurbishment, and it reopened during the 50th anniversary celebrations at the park. And yeah, Neil Armstrong was in attendance for that. Is that not super cool?
That is pretty cool. He was still alive then.
Yeah,
I guess,
I was actually in Disneyland during the 50th anniversary.
I'm assuming he was still alive. Yes. Yeah. Okay, that's good.
I was there during the 50th anniversary celebrations. It was very cool.
Yeah, you
I even have ears.
Yeah, you have the ears. I see them.
Yeah, they're gold. Yep. Hong Kong Disneyland also opened during this decade. That was in 2005. The Disney resorts first celebrated Halloween time in 2006, which is now like the biggest celebration in Disneyland. Might be Halloween. It's a toss up between Halloween and Christmas, honestly. I think Christmas might be slightly more, but like it's a big deal.
I'm gonna say Halloween's bigger.
Maybe in Disneyland.
In Disneyland, it's 100% bigger because it's longer.
It is longer. That's true.
And basically as busy and as big a deal as Christmas. Christmas is very compact at Disneyland. Mm-hmm. It's busy. Like, I mean, we were there for the week after Christmas, and it was like the busiest week of the year last year.
Yeah.
But it's only a week, whereas Halloween is
like crazy
September and October.
Right.
And it's busy every weekend. Like Oogie Boogie Bash sells out
in minutes.
That's for 2 months. Whereas as Christmas is like 2 weeks.
Yeah. Like the Christmas season is about a month. So I see what you're saying.
But early December is not very busy.
But exactly, yeah. So it'd be interesting. The submarine voyage reopened as Finding Nemo in 2006. And in 2009 is when the reimagined Small World reopened with all the Disney character additions. So before we started going
that
again.
That does help Small World a little bit.
Some purists don't like it. I like it. I wasn't sure, but I really liked it. Also,
They did a good job with it.
Mm-hmm. Pirates included, like, that was redone with the Johnny Depp.
Jack Sparrow stuff like that. I'm not a big fan of that, but
whatever. So that's like the big things I took from the parks. Mostly that, like, hey, a bunch of new parks opened.
They were still going hard. The Eisner expansionism was still, like, the inertia of that was still happening, right?
And what's interesting is what is widely regarded as one of the best parks in the world, Tokyo Disney Sea, opened the same decade, like, right after DCA opened.
Well, there's a reason for that mm-hmm. we well know. The Tokyo Disneyland and Disney Sea after that were, it was a partnership with a Japanese company, and they footed the bill. So
money was no object.
And
they just said, we want this done well.
We want this done well. And like, Tokyo Disneyland is like a clone of Disneyland. Yeah. So there was no missing on that. But then they were like, we want something that's our own.
Mm-hmm.
And they went for it, and
not only that, culturally speaking, like, Tokyo and Japan in general loves Disney stuff.
Yeah,
so like
it fits very well with the culture. Mm-hmm. Unlike Disney, okay. and if you want to know more about all this business stuff and like the downfall of Iger, Defunct Land has a really good documentary. Downfall of Eisner. Sorry,
mm-hmm.
Has a really great documentary about Euro Disney.
Defunctland has some great documentaries, period.
There are several good documentaries, but there is one that's like specifically about Eisner
specifically.
The Euro Disney failure and the DCA failure.
Imagineering
and stuff like
Story actually goes into it pretty well as well.
Defunctland's better for that.
Specifically.
Imagineering Story has some cool mm-hmm. stuff about Imagineers, but like the business stuff, I would say Defunctland is, and it's free on YouTube, so hey.
Hey, absolutely. Let's go to the movies. Okay, so like I said, Disney purchased Pixar during the 2000s. Here are the Pixar movies that came out during the 2000s. This, some were before and some were after the acquisition. We're just going to include them all. Monsters, Inc.
Mm-hmm.
Finding Nemo.
Basically, Pixar was the only thing that was doing good movies at this point.
The Incredibles. Cars. Ratatouille. WALL-E. And Up.
Oh, Up snuck in there.
2009.
I thought WALL-E was 2009 for some reason.
2008.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that one because I teach WALL-E every year.
Pixar was...
Man, did they have some movies.
They were playing ball back in the 2000s, weren't they? Oh.
There are also some really... Like, you were talking about how, like, millennials and they just love, like, Disney during this era, the 2000s.
Well, yes.
Younger millennials.
Millennials grew up during the Renaissance, so they're Disney fans, and then...
Yeah. So, a lot of movies, which the live-action ones would have gone unnoticed, are, like, now favorites of this, like, era.
Live-action ones?
I'm getting to the animated ones last. We're ending with animated.
Okay.
Here are some of the most notable Disney movies. The Kid, starring Bruce Willis. Again, chronologically. Remember the Titans.
Oh, yeah. No. Remember the Titans is... It's a cheesy sports movie, but it's like...
There's a lot of cheesy sports movies.
It's pretty good.
In the 2000s. Mm-hmm. I didn't include them all, but Remember the Titans was good.
Yeah, it was big.
The Princess Diaries, which I still adore.
Mm-mm.
The Rookie, another sports movie.
Cheesy sports movie, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Country Bears.
No.
I love it.
No.
Love it.
It's a hard no for me.
Tuck Everlasting. Holes. The Lizzie McGuire movie.
Well, you skipped over Holes too fast.
Okay, go back to Holes.
Starring Shia LaBeouf.
That's true.
He was from the Disney Channel, of course, from Even mm-hmm. Stevens, so yeah.
A bunch of Disney Channel stars and movies during this time, and also, like, they got into, like, adapting children's YA. They've always done that, but there's some more recent acquisitions in this. Like Holes. The other one I said was Tuck Everlasting right before that. And then there's a couple more later.
I shrugged at that, yeah,
The Lizzie McGuire movie.
Oof.
Pirates of the Caribbean, Curse of the Black Pearl.
That was like a like just crazy
amazing.
Wild swing that was a home run.
100%.
Like, that should have not have worked.
And it worked so
yet
well.
Yet it was, like, so good.
Mm-hmm.
And, yes, Johnny Depp was great as Jack Sparrow, but, like, everything about that movie was, like, really, really good.
Freaky Friday, the remake one, with Jamie Lee Curtis.
Oh, you know, that...
I liked it.
That was not bad.
Yeah, I liked it. The Eddie Murphy Haunted Mansion.
Wah, wah, wah. That was bad.
Pirates worked so well, we should do another one.
And Eddie Murphy was on top of the world back then, and then he made a couple of really, really bad movies.
And some life choices.
And some life choices. So, like, I wasn't going to throw that in there, but like the movies were on their own were terrible, so, you know.
Speaking of sports movies, Miracle, hockey movie.
That's based on a true story.
Yes, it is. National Treasure.
Hey, yeah.
That was good. That was fun.
I enjoyed the National Treasure movies. But...
yeah, the other one's coming up, too. Ice Princess, which I really liked because it was a figure skating movie. Herbie Fully Loaded. The Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest. Bridge to Terabithia. Speaking of children's book adaptations.
Happy.
So happy.
Good children's movie for, like, Lord of the Rings, but for children.
Exactly the same.
That's how they advertised it.
It was not...
a lot of people were in for a big surprise.
Well, they should have read the book. Pirates of the Caribbean, At World's End. Enchanted. So good.
Pretty good.
National Treasure, Book of Secrets. I'm only including the next one because of the meme. Race to Witch Mountain. The first of the Earth documentaries came out.
Oh, yeah.
And special shout out this whole decade, High School Musical.
Oof.
Did you just need to start shaking?
I have some PTSD. You go listen to I'm not even going to say my High School Musical episode and relish in my horrible torture and sadness.
And then we should all be sad that we're not on Twitter anymore because... live tweeting.
You mean X?
Yeah, whatever. live tweeting, like, watching that trilogy and then watching the Zombies trilogy was, like, the best thing in the entire world.
Live Xing?
We're not doing that. That sounds terrible.
Yeah, no, it does sound terrible. That's what happens when you have a childish man that has billions of dollars. Yeah, that's what happens.
Let's move on to the animated Disney movies. So here's the order, and then I'm going to ask you to pick your favorite at the
okay.
end. Okay. Okay? And your top and your least.
Can I use the live-action ones? Because I know which one I'm going to pick.
No, because you'll pick Pirates.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Just the animated.
Okay.
I was going to get you to rank them all, but I was like, there's no way you'd remember these. So just your top and your least.
Okay, just animated.
Just animated. Ready?
Wall-E.
No, that's Pixar. Just animated.
Disney. Okay.
Disney. Okay.
Just Walt Disney Studios animation.
Exactly. Okay. Here's the order chronologically first before you do this. And you're going to pick your favorite and your least favorite.
Okay.
Fantasia 2000. Oh, and also these are theatrical releases. I'm not including...
Please don't.
Planes.
Yeah, please don't do any of the direct-to-video nonsense.
I'm not including, even though Return to Neverland is a theatrical release, I'm not going to include it. And I'm going to include it here to... I just mentioned it. I'm going to include them here to mention, but don't pick them. Is both the Tigger movie and Piglet's Big Movie. They're excellent, but don't pick them. Okay, Fantasia 2000, Dinosaur, The Emperor's New Groove, Atlantis the Lost Empire, Lilo and Stitch, Treasure Planet, Brother Bear, Home on the Range,
oh God,
Chicken Little, Meet the Robinsons, Bolt, The Princess and the Frog, and then the... A Christmas Carol with
the creepy Jim Carrey Christmas Carol. Oh, jeez. Wow. Oh, I have to pick a favorite out of those?
Yes. Oh, that's easy.
Do I?
Yeah.
I don't really like any of them, to be honest.
You didn't like Emperor's New Groove?
No.
What is wrong with you?
We're gonna get into that.
You didn't like Atlantis.
I'm gonna be prepared. So it's between Atlantis
and Treasure Planet.
No, it's between Atlantis and actually Princess and the Frog. mostly because of the animation. Like, mm-hmm. Princess and the Frog, it was the last hurrah of, like, classical mm-hmm. animation, and it was done very, very well.
It was beautiful.
I didn't like the plot as much, but mm-hmm. the villain was pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Has a great song, too.
And Princess Tiana is, like, a pretty cool princess, mm-hmm. so, I'm gonna go Princess and the Frog.
I'm not mad at that.
Yeah.
I don't... Well, I actually would have said Princess and the Frog. My actual favorite from this
is... You want to hear my least favorite? You want to hear my least favorite?
In a minute. My actual favorite from this is Piglet's Big Movie. But I just knew you couldn't pick it.
Piglet's Big Movie. Yeah. Which is the Tigger movie the one that has the Heffalump?
No, that's the third one that came out during this time. So it was Tigger's Big Movie. Sorry, Tigger movie was like 2000, 2001, something like that. Piglet's Big Movie was like 2005, 2006, I don't know. And then Pooh's Heffalump movie came out near the end of the decade. I know you have anger issues about it.
I have big problems with that.
What's
with
your least favorite?
Home on the Range.
That's 100%. I'm trying not to pick the same as you, but it is Home on the Range.
That is terrible.
It is the least favorite.
There's some bad ones in there. Home on the Range was horrific. And we saw that together in theaters, and I've never walked out of a movie. I kind of wanted to walk out of that.
We didn't.
One. We didn't. I kind of wanted to, though. It was really bad.
The Princess and the Frog is probably my favorite from these, but you picked that, so I'll go... I haven't seen Treasure Planet in a long time, and I really, really liked it when I used to watch it.
The animation in that is also very good.
Yeah, and I really like that steampunk style, and I've always liked retellings of, you know, classic lit, and this was another version of doing that. I also think, like, I get that Atlantis and Treasure Planet and Emperor's New Groove are all, like, the hipster movies.
They are. They're all considered underrated.
But I really, really like them. Yeah. Like them. But yeah, okay.
I don't know. Maybe if I had watched Treasure Planet recently.
Yeah, that's fair. I'd be really torn because I also want to rewatch. I want to rewatch Atlantis and I want to rewatch Treasure Planet. I liked Emperor's New Groove more than I remembered liking it, watching it just the other day.
I was disappointed.
Oh, really? Okay, so I'm going to go through these again.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, have you seen it? Do you remember what you thought? And I know we're going to spend some time on Emperor's New Groove.
Fantasia 2000 is fine. I mean, it didn't need to happen. This was a Roy E. Disney promise that he wanted to fulfill, and that's
why it happened.
Yeah, like Fantasia, the original, stands on its own. He didn't need to make new sequences and stuff. So,
but
whatever.
They said they would, and so he did.
Yeah.
I have distinct memories of taking my youngest siblings to go watch this in theaters. My parents went to see a movie that was, like, not kid-appropriate, and so I was like, oh, well, I'll just take them.
True
to
Lies.
This.
No, wait, that was
I will tell you what the movie is in a minute. Just wait. That's part of the story.
Okay.
So I was like, guessing. I will take Trevor and Brittany to Fantasia 2000, and I don't even know if they'd seen Fantasia, and they were very young at the time. Like,
not
too
great
young.
For little kids.
Yeah,
no.
And it's not a very long movie. Which was problematic because my parents went to go see The Green Mile.
Oh, that's like 3 hours long.
Yeah. So they both fell asleep in the, like, we went to the little lobby area and it was like a later showing or whatever. And they both just, like, fell asleep. And this was like pre-cell phone and everything like that. So I was like, did they leave? Like, what's up? Because anyway.
Oh, you didn't know that The Green Mile was 3 hours.
I knew it was longer, but I didn't know it was that much longer.
Nor did your parents, apparently.
So, I don't know, they might have. But anyway, it was fine. But I just have distinct memories of taking them to Fantasia 2000. And I thought it was great, but I remember being like, they're not getting anything out of this other than, like, cool animation.
I distinctly remember my dad being very, very, very excited for Fantasia 2000, because I think Fantasia was one of his more...
Yeah.
Favorite Disney
higher
movies.
Up on the list,
higher up on the list for sure. And you know what? It's more Fantasia. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Like,
that's
it wasn't bad, but like coming on the heels of the Renaissance, where like every Disney movie was an event and like kids were super into it, having this like orchestral animation thing. It's tough sell.
Yeah. We're speaking of the Tigger movie, Dinosaur.
Oof.
I was disappointed. I didn't watch this until like a couple years ago. I think we watched it during COVID lockdowns, didn't we?
I watched it originally, and then apparently we've watched it again, and I still don't remember it at all. Like, I have no recollection of this movie.
I didn't.
There's still a ride for it. Unfortunately,
I didn't hate it, but it was very like forgettable. It was very forgettable. Apparently, Emperor's New Groove.
Oh, we're gonna talk about this now. Are we?
I'm going through the list.
Okay.
Oh, you're like getting serious. You're sitting up straight. It's a whole thing.
Well, we're gonna talk about it.
Okay.
Well, we just watched it. Mm-hmm. And I don't believe I had ever seen it before.
Yes. I had.
I might have seen it. I didn't remember it. And so then we watched it. And, of course, you see all the memes from it and things like that. The animation, not great.
But it was, like, funny.
Kronk?
Amazing.
Very good.
Yes.
Love Kronk.
Yes.
The villain of the movie.
Yzma.
No, it's not Yzma, actually.
Okay.
She is not the villain of this movie. The Emperor is the villain of this movie.
That's fair enough.
I can't root for him. He's a jerk, and he is forced to reform over, like, he has many chances to reform. Like, I get it. You have kind of a trope, and he's like a spoiled, rotten brat, and then this bad thing happens to him, and he's supposed to learn from it. He takes like 6 or 7 times to learn from this horrible thing that happens to him, and it's like forced. He's a horrible person. Cannot root for him. Do not like him.
I don't think he's the hero.
He's not the hero.
Paco is the hero.
Yeah. He's the hero. But he's the Emperor is the villain. He's the villain. And the villain kind of wins at the end. Like he's like everything's happy. No, Yzma is like she sees. She like, so you go to work and you have this like horrible boss that makes you do everything and is like absolutely useless and you get all bitter and stuff and you're like, can I get rid of this boss? That's what she's doing. she might not be that much better when she gets into power because she's so bitter already, but she's not gonna be worse. She's not gonna be worse.
I think Yzma's awesome personally, and she ends up as a kitty.
She does, yeah. So one of the few Disney villains not to die in a horrible way.
Mm-hmm.
Until she gets, like, taken away by an eagle or something.
Kronk is the... I think he's also, like, the winner. I like his little demon and angel. I forgot about them.
His demon and angel are very cute. No, Kronk is definitely, like, far, far, far and away the best part of this movie.
Yeah, no, he's great. And, no, I love Paka's relationship with his wife.
Yeah, but that's in the movie for, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah, but I was telling you about how I was watching, I don't remember what it was, but it's, like, therapist react. It's an ongoing series where a therapist who likes movies and a movie maker who's, he says, I'm a therapist who likes watching movies, and he's like, and I'm a movie maker who probably needs therapy, is, like, their whole thing.
Most people do, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And they react or to whatever topic it is, right? They have a whole episode on Up, by the way. Yeah, but it's not always Disney. But they had one, and it was, like, actually really positive marriages in movies are almost impossible
rare.
To find.
Yeah,
they're
very,
so, so
very
rare.
Rare, very
they're
rare.
Usually a plot thing. So one they mentioned was, like, In a Quiet Place. And they're like talking about how like that was interesting chemistry because actually they're married in real life. And so they're like pointing out excellent depictions of things. And they said, we hate to include it, but like Carl and Ellie is like a perfect marriage depiction of a healthy that you can see. They have problems and whatever and whatever. And they said
you can have problems where it's not like the crux of your existence.
Yeah, exactly. Like, but their whole thing was what the signposts were of a healthy relationship. And, like, trying to point to movies where they had. And there were even some movies where, like, this is a terrible movie, but this is a really good relationship in the movie. But the one Disney one, because, I mean, Up is Pixar, but the one Disney one they mentioned, you're like, it is so funny because it's only in here for, like, a short little period of time.
Very short,
but
yeah.
Their marriage is, like, the healthiest Disney relationship. Or one
Which
of
is,
the healthiest.
To be honest with you, not saying a whole lot. There is some terrible Disney marriages. All... Basically, every single relationship in
well,
Disney is
and then
is
the
bad.
Other part
Either
they said
dead or,
is it's
like,
really hard because a lot of them you don't see them after they're married anyway.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I just wanted to mention that they're an awesomely healthy marriage, according to this therapist. And also, she's the only pregnant Disney character.
Hmm.
Bess. Yzma's cool. Kronk is cooler.
Kronk's awesome, but yeah, the animation of this movie is not great, and...
You didn't like that style.
You can tell it's cheap.
Mm, okay, yeah. Atlantis, the Lost Empire.
Again, the animation in this is hit and miss. Like, a lot of the characters and stuff, from what I remember, pretty cheaply done. It's a cooler story, though.
It's very stylized.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I do like Atlantis.
I like Atlantis a lot. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It would be my second, like I said, my second choice for the decade.
I know you have some stuff to say about the next one. Lilo and Stitch. First of all, the best advertising campaign I think Disney has ever done. Because they had all of these trailers of, like, famous Disney moments.
Yes.
And then Stitch being, like... terrible, like the big ballroom scene in Beauty and the Beast, I remember, and yeah. Then you look up at the ceiling, which happens in the movie, but then they had Stitch animated Stitch like running across the ceiling and dropping the chandelier.
Yeah. So, okay, here's the thing.
This is a hipster movie and a half.
It is, and it's too much of a hipster movie now. Okay. Like it's not bad.
You don't like it as much because it's so popular.
Yes. Yeah. Stitch specifically mm-hmm. is way too popular. The older sister, Nani.
Nani's amazing.
Is really good character. Like, yeah. Really cool character.
Nani and David. So, there's another really healthy relationship. They're not even really dating.
Mm.
There's definitely, like... but he's,
there's
like...
There's tension, yeah.
Yeah, he is actually... If you were looking at, like, leading men in Disney, or not even leading men, but Disney male characters that are, like, the love interest, yeah. He's one of the healthiest ones.
Again... Not saying a whole lot.
Fair enough. Do you know who I think the healthiest one is? This is a tangent.
Sven.
Kristoff.
Oh, yes.
The funny looking donkey.
The funny looking donkey. You know what I meant.
Yeah, Kristoff.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, Kristoff's awesome.
Kristoff's amazing, especially in the sequel, which I think...
He learned from Sven.
He learned from Sven. That's true.
How to be a cool dude.
His development in the sequel makes him... Like, it was the best part of the sequel, I thought. Anyway.
I don't remember a lot from
the sequel. That was the one where he was just like when, but the moment was when Anna, like Elsa's died and Anna's trying to like save the day. And he says, and he finds her finally, catches up to her. He's been chasing her this whole, like for a while. And he says, I'm here. What do you need?
Hmm.
And then she like apologizes for like whatever. And he says, my love's not fragile. And I was just like, Kristoff setting Disney male character expectations. I mean, he's no beast. He didn't give her a library, but still.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there you go.
But anyway, David in Lilo and Stitch,
right.
Amazing. Not as amazing as Nani. Nani's amazing.
So, again, the
Stitch overrated.
The animation in Lilo and Stitch, not great.
Love the music.
Yeah, the music's fine.
Elvis!
Yeah, exactly. So it's not really like Lilo and Stitch music.
Well, there is original stuff, too. That's really good.
The story's fine. It's not underrated. It's actually overrated is the problem.
Okay.
Is the problem. For me.
Okay.
Personally.
All right. Treasure Planet. I already said I love Treasure Planet. There was such a great hipster millennial song that was the theme of it. Jim's theme. It wasn't a musical. It just had a song. I think played over like a montage or whatever. But it's
even
basically,
Rocky had a montage.
It's true. It's basically steampunk... Treasure Island in space.
Yeah, it's like, it's not even steampunk, it's like space punk.
Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah. Cyberpunk.
It's not quite cyberpunk either.
Ah.
But yes, that's the general idea. Mm-hmm. It's like, they're still on a sailing ship, but it's in space.
Yeah.
And, like, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, it's your Treasure Island story
mm-hmm.
in space with aliens.
Yeah, and I like what they did with Long John Silver character,
mm-hmm.
Specifically towards the end. They gave him a little bit more of a redemption arc than in the original novel, because it isn't just, like...
See, and I don't love that.
They didn't turn him into a good guy.
Yeah, Treasure Island was one of my more favorite books growing up. Actually,
I didn't know that.
It was one of the first times you had like not a straightforward character,
right.
like Long John Silver was, when you meet him, he's like this cool dude mm-hmm. and all this stuff, and then he becomes not so good. Mm-hmm. Very interesting to me. If you have a redemption arc there, it kind of ruins that.
Redemption arc's the wrong words, though, because he isn't redeemed. He just... The relationship between him and Jim is more significant. Brother Bear.
Nope.
Canadian.
Sorta.
It's Canadian. It's supposed to be Canadian.
Sorta. You have
Bob and Doug McKenzie.
Yeah. Pass. Horrible. Terrible.
I didn't think it was terrible. It's not my favorite.
Brother Bear just... Better think it's Lucky Stars that Home on the Range exists, because...
No, I think Dinosaur's worse.
Nah!
I like Brother Bear.
I'd rather watch Dinosaur again, because I don't remember it. I remember Brother Bear, and I remember how horrible it is. I just rewatched
it, like, a year or so ago. I like Brother Bear fine. It's just horrible. Not great.
Horrible.
Because next is Home on the Range.
I like cows. This movie made me not want to like cows.
You were, like, upset that you like cows.
I don't know who looked at Roseanne's body of work and was like, you know what we should do? Get her to voice a children's movie. Her voice is very soothing. No. Roseanne has, like, one of the worst voices in Hollywood. Why would you have her be a voice actor?
And not even, like, a caricature worst voice.
No, just, like...
She's not Fran Drescher.
She could have been a villain.
Mm-hmm.
Or something, but no, not... No. It's just a terrible movie. I hate it so much. I hate it.
Chicken Little.
Chicken Little was fine.
Yeah, it was fine. I thought it was good. Chicken Little is one of two characters that were main characters that wear glasses.
Hmm.
The other one's Mirabelle.
What about, what about Milo in Atlantis? He wears glasses.
Milo. You're right.
He wears glasses.
That was a wrong stat I read.
Yeah.
Stupid. Milo does work. Milo in Atlantis. This is another reason Atlantis is awesome. Who voices him?
I don't know.
Michael J. Fox.
Ah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. He's a cool character.
Mm-hmm. It's because you identify with Milo a little bit.
A little bit. Yeah. He's a nerdy, lanky dude, yeah. So, you know, whatever.
I like when he's talking and then he's like, pause for suspenseful effect. And then he's just practicing. Meet the Robinsons is the only one I haven't seen. Well, I remember it's a commercial.
There's a T-Rex. Yeah.
Bolt.
We saw Bolt in theaters.
Yeah. I liked it fine.
It was fine.
Yeah. It was fine. I'd watch it again.
Yeah.
Princess and the Frog, I really liked. This is another bit of a hipster one. It's like, this Entangled have, like, gained momentum, which is in the 2010s.
Well, we watched Princess and the Frog in theaters mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah. I cried.
I was initially disappointed with it, but in this episode, I said it was my favorite of the decade. It has some redeeming qualities to it.
Mm-hmm.
It still could have been better.
And the music is amazing.
And I'm kind of sad that it totally killed 2D animation for forever.
I'm enjoying the embracing of it in terms of some things like Tiana's Palace, New Orleans Square. I'm curious to see what's going to happen with Splash Mountain. I don't think it needs to be... I don't know. I think the world building in it is really cool. And like you said, the villain's great.
Yeah.
Dr. Facilier is great.
Is he going to be in the ride, though?
I don't know. Probably not. He's on the other side now.
Exactly. So, I don't know.
He does show up at Oogie Boogie Bash, though, generally. Yeah. And then this one actually came up before Princess and the Frog, but I added it to the end because it's a Christmas Carol.
Creepy, Uncanny Valley.
Well, Uncanny Valley.
Mocap.
Yeah.
Not as bad as the Polar Express. Which was done in the same animation style. The animation is a little better. We went to, like, a special... Okay. But the movie, it's probably the truest to the book.
I was also going to bring that up. There are certain elements in the book that never make it into movie adaptions.
And they
did it.
Did it in this. So I kind of like it for that, but the animation styles is like a bridge too far for me.
Okay,
it's fine.
So we actually drove down to the States for a day because they had like a holiday train coming through in the middle of the summer before this movie came out as part of like a tour, like a advertising for this movie.
Yeah,
coming out.
It was
like a Christmas in July thing we went to.
It was the Christmas Carol train, and they had all these mm-hmm. artifacts. They had some Charles Dickens stuff.
That's
and,
very cool.
And then they had like a big. It was like a 10-minute preview in the theater, like an inflatable theater thing. It was actually really cool that I'm really glad we got to see it, and I'll always remember this movie because of that.
Exactly.
But
this movie actually holds a higher place in my esteem because of that experience.
Right, but we live in a world where the Muppets Christmas Carol exists, so if we're going to watch a Disney Christmas Carol, it's going to be that, or maybe if you don't have a lot of time, then the Mickey one. Yeah,
this isn't on the list for that.
We've seen it once, and not since then, so what does that tell you, right?
like you said, we live in a world Muppets Christmas Carol exists, which is technically owned by Disney now, too, so that is the Disney Christmas Carol movie that we watch. That is the Christmas Carol movie that we watch. What are we talking about here?
Literally the Christmas Carol movie.
Actually, if I'm not watching that, I might watch Scrooged.
Meh.
Mickey's Christmas Carol is also really good, but Muppet's Christmas Carol is my answer to your favorite Christmas movie.
It's up there.
Yeah, it's my favorite.
It's one of the ones that I want to watch every year, and it never gets old.
Nope.
I can watch it a couple times a year.
It's usually one of the first ones we watch in the holiday season and one of the ones closest to the holiday itself.
It's just super watchable. But if I was not allowed to watch that and I really wanted to see A Christmas Carol, it would probably be like the original, like Alistair Sims.
Oh, yeah, that's a really good one, too. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. I actually like Mickey's Christmas Carol, like you said, if you don't have a lot of time.
It's short. It's really short.
You're like, oh, I have like a half hour here. Yeah. I have to watch it. Yeah. We didn't do this last time. I know we're running a little bit long, but I'm not going to ask you any kind of quiz or anything like that. Instead, you're going to come up with a drink.
Yes.
All right.
I'm an alcoholic, so this works well.
Okay. So this drink is going to be inspired by Home on the Range. Because it was our answer to the least favorite.
Oh, no. Okay.
Because I was actually going to go Pirates, but I'm like, well, that's easy. It's rum. Like, come on.
It would be rum-based, yes. Yeah. Pirates would be rum-based, for sure. Mm-hmm. I thought you were going to make me...
Ooh, no, hold on. Scratch that. I got a better one.
Oh, man. I was using brain power already.
Okay, well, you can come up with two if you want. You're going to come up with a drink that's called the Michael Eisner.
Oh, that's way harder. I don't like this. I thought you were going to give me something like, give me a drink for Yzma.
No, that would be fun, though, because it would be like a little purple
It would definitely be purple. Like, okay, no, we're doing Home on the Ranch.
Okay,
I don't like your side. Yeah. Okay. Home on the Range. So, we're going to have... It's going to be a root beer drink.
Another root beer drink.
Like a sarsaparilla type of situation.
That makes sense.
We're going to have some heavy cream...
Okay.
And Butter Ripple Schnapps.
That'd be good.
Yeah. And,
be better than the movie.
There's going to be some green sprinkles on top for the grass.
Oh, okay.
Just to make, because it's like going to be dirt on top, and then.
And grass on top of that.
Yeah.
The Range. It's the Range.
It's the Range.
I would like that.
And that's what it's called. It's called the Range.
I'd like that. Do you remember our idea about how, after we have a bunch of these, we're going to, like, do little
shorts? We're going to do it, yes. Yeah. Wait, we have two root beer ones, so you have to drink those, but this can also be done as a shot.
Oh, okay. You do it as a shot.
Mm-hmm.
You do it as a shot.
I would do it as a shot.
Yeah. I would, like, enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be like my chaser.
And you could also... just because, like, the bitter taste of it, you could also just pound a shot of whiskey after.
Nope. Nope. No. Butter Ripple Schnapps and root beer is not bitter. It's, like, sweet and wonderful.
No, I meant the bitter taste of the movie. That's, like, replicates the bitter taste of the movie. That's what I'm going for.
Oh, I see. You're like, that was too pleasant. Here we go. Yeah. Okay, fair. But, like, low-shelf whiskey.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Like, Wild Turkey or something.
Anything to add about the 2000s?
Thank goodness for Pixar.
Yeah, no kidding, hey? And some awesome live-action ones, actually. Pirates.
Yeah, pirates.
Any world where there's pirates. But you also had, like, Princess Diaries, and you had Enchanted, and you had, like...
We'll go with Pirates.
Oh, that's fine.
The first Pirates. Apparently the whole trilogy came out in the 2000s, which,
Yeah, they were the first three. Now they keep going, but we won't talk about the trilogy. The whole trilogy. Okay, fine.
We talk about the first one's really good.
Yeah. So contact us on our social media or through our website to chat and suggest trivia or say hi.
Hi!
Hi!
Oh, wait.
That is our show. Thank you, El Mule, who's responsible for the custom theme song you heard at the top of the show. You can find a link to his work at our website at disneya.wixsite.com/podcast, and it's also where you can find a link to our social media accounts and our email. So if you are from Janesville, that is how you can find us.
Janesville, Wisconsin.
Exactly.
Home of the Parks or something. I derailed you. I'm sorry.
You can find us on Instagram at DisneyA.podcast or on Facebook at DisneyA. You can find DisneyA on Twitter, but it's not active anymore. So, you know. You can find DisneyA episodes on all of your favorite...
It's still active. It's just our auto-tweets don't work anymore because Elon disabled any third-party thing. But the account's still there.
So you could, like, DM us there.
All the previous live tweets are still there.
Yeah, go find Brandon's High School Musical before X implodes or something. And
which is a distinct possibility.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You can find DisneyA episodes on all of your favorite podcast streaming platforms and on our YouTube channel, Adventures A. If you've rated or reviewed our podcast, thank you. And if you haven't yet, please do. And if you know someone who might like listening to us, be sure to recommend DisneyA as well.
And make them listen.
For family?
No.
That sounded very...
It was just supposed to be ominous.
Uh-oh. Do you know what we're talking about next week?
Tacos.
I don't think that's it.
Oh. Darn.
Yeah, sorry.
I would like to.
You can tacos if you want.
I might. That might be my nerd thing. Tacos.
Okay, that's all right.
My favorite kind of tacos. Taco toppings. I could go on. I could do an entire episode about tacos.
Okay, but before you do that.
This outro is really off the rails.
Okay, let's just go. So I'm Krista.
And I'm Brandon.
Until the next adventure, TTFN, ta-ta for now. Thanks for listening to Disney A.
Got a big head and little arms.